All right, everybody, welcome on into the Auburn Daily Show, episode 2 of the Auburn Daily Show. Lance Daw here with you on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. Actually, not quite beautiful, a little rainy here in Auburn, Alabama. It's actually pretty gross. Lance Daw here joined by Zach Blackerby of Auburn Daily. Today, we are going to be talking about some stats. We're going to run down some numbers. We've been putting out some stats of the day every single day here throughout the month of January. We are 3 days in, and we've got some numbers for you. Zach, are you a big numbers guy?
I am not as big as you or possibly some of the other guys that we have on the Auburn Daily staff, but they're definitely fun. Definitely fun to kind of tell a story with some of these numbers. This is my favorite series that we have going on right now at Auburn Daily. And if you're unfamiliar, we have stat of the day every single day, drop at 10 a.m. Central Time. That's at auburndaily.com. The first one of the new year, I got the opportunity to write it. And this is what it was, Lance. Auburn's returning edge snaps from last season was 140. All of those belonged to Dylan Brooks. And then you look at Elijah McAllister, the transfer from Vanderbilt, the edge standout. And I don't know necessarily what his ceiling is, Lance, but he has the experience. His total career defensive snaps, 977. So you talk about something that Auburn does not have, that being a bunch of experience and a bunch of snaps played at edge. McAllister has you covered there, which makes a ton of sense why he was a guy that Hugh Freeze and the staff wanted to go out and grab.
We actually just recently, believe it or not, put out three positions of need for Auburn in the transfer portal. One I did not include on there that you could definitely throw in there is edge. Like you just mentioned, Auburn's lacking a lot of experience in that department heading into this season. Elijah McAllister not only brings that experience, Zach, but he also brings the size at 6'6". You know, I definitely think he's somebody that Auburn can work with. Whenever you bring in a kid of that size, you can definitely find somewhere on the roster for him to maybe make some type of impact. We've seen Auburn even switch guys in the past from offense to defense, J.J. McGee's obviously being one of them. But yeah, Elijah McAllister, not only is he experienced, not only is he of the size that Auburn would want at that position, but he's also clearly really smart. He had several offers from different Ivy League schools coming out of high school. He went to Vanderbilt. So Auburn's getting a really, really good player, I think, on the edge position. Now, whether or not they utilize him to the extent that maybe Auburn wants to, I don't know. Maybe they go around and maybe they look around for some other edge players and kind of fill in the gaps and kind of maybe take down what his potential snap total could be. So I'm not necessarily sold on what he can do from maybe a statistical standpoint as far as like sack production. If I'm not mistaken, he has 65 total tackles throughout his career, but definitely a place where Auburn needed depth. They needed that experience, and they're getting almost a thousand snaps worth of it.
Yeah, in 2019, he had 371. In 21, he had 308. And in 2022, he had 298. Lance, I don't think he'll get to 300 snaps for Auburn this year. I think he's going to be, you know, maybe a guy that starts at the beginning of the year, then it may taper off as the course of the season goes, because I think Keldrick Faulk is going to be a guy that you're going to have to put on the field early. And look, Dylan Brooks, I've been a little critical of him because of his size. You know, his frame hadn't filled out to the level of the rest of the edge room. When you look at the guys last year, I mean, Marcus Bragg jumped him in the depth chart, and I think with good reason. I think we understood why over the course of the season when Ekwu Liotta went down. But I just remember in fall camp watching the edge guys go through drills, and it's like all of these guys' bodies were totally filled out with the exception of Dylan Brooks. And he's young, right? I mean, it was a second year in college last year, and so now this extra year in an SEC weight room, does it elevate you? Because look, even at Vanderbilt, you know, Elijah McAllister, as you said, is a specimen of a human being. And so can Dylan Brooks get to that point? He certainly has the size and the framing to do that. He's just got to fill it out a little bit. But I think with the rotation as it stands right now, and I think Auburn's trying to add more guys to this rotation, but with McAllister, with Brooks, and with Faulk, I think it's going to be tough for him to kind of hit his average season to season with what he did at Vanderbilt, just with kind of the makeup of what this roster looks like.
Yeah, and I worded it poorly, but I'm exactly what you're saying there. It's just based on the rest of the room. I'm not quite sure if he's going to be able to get to that statistical production that he's had in the past, but it's certainly a valuable asset, no doubt. I think Auburn needs that position.
And Lance, can he play defensive end? You know, not necessarily right. Edge, that outside linebacker we're going to see in this 3-4 defense. with Ron Roberts, but can we see him play other positions outside of that? And at 260, maybe you get him to 265 or so, you probably can play that, especially in pass rush heavy situations with Marcus Harris and guys like that on the inside. I think you're going to be able to have good personnel as far as pursuing and rushing the passer. So maybe that's the way he stays on the field, maybe gets 300 snaps this year.
Could possibly be. That was our first stat of the day for 2023. Our second stat of the day is one that I wrote up over at auburndaily.com. If you want to go check it out, it is about Auburn secondary. If you did not hear, DJ James, Nehemiah Pritchett, Auburn's two top corners announced that they will be returning for 2023. Big, big, big news for the Auburn Tigers in that defensive backfield. But here is the number I want to point out, because I think with all of the experience coming back, Auburn has a chance to be really, really good this year if things go the right way. Auburn secondary gave up 6.5 yards per pass attempt in 2022. That was good for 26th nationally. That's the Tigers' best mark in that category, yards per pass attempt, since 2019. And we all know how good that 2019 team was. A lot of what that secondary did, though, despite all that NFL talent, Zach, I think mainly had to do with what was going on up front. So we could take this a lot of different ways as far as like, well, what could truly impact this secondary ceiling this season? Is it the experience? Is it what's going on in the first level of the defense? What do you think?
Yeah, well, I mean, experience is definitely going to be there, which is great. There are question marks on the defensive front, but the strength of this team, both sides of the ball, will be the secondary. Not only does this Auburn defensive backfield have the present, they've also got the future when you look at guys like Kay and Lee coming in as well. So there's a lot to like about this. But everybody's coming back, which is exciting to see. I saw DJ James have a fourth round grade on him, which I think is actually a little low. Yep. We'll see. And I guess he thought it was low too, because he's going to come back and try to raise that. But I just, not only is there a lot of talent when you look at DJ James and Nehemiah Pritchett, your outside guys, but also everybody's kind of got a clear and defined role and fit there. Like Keontae Scott loves the nickel. He's really good in the middle of the field. Donovan Kaufman, good in the middle of the field, both close to the line of scrimmage and away from the line of scrimmage. Zion Puckett, when he's had his moment. And look, Jalen Simpson, with what he saw, he had to move to safety towards the end of last season. I think some of that had to do with injury. I think some of that had to do with the fact that Nehemiah Pritchett and DJ James were kind of outplaying him and what they were trying to do defensively last year, and so they wanted to keep him on the field. And he looked good in that safety role. So could he possibly be Auburn's starting safety next year next to Kaufman? I would think so. But I love the talent, and I love the fit and just the skill set. It's like a perfect puzzle, and all these pieces just kind of click right where they're supposed to be, Lance.
And on top of that, Zach, this is something that I noted in the article as well. I've been reading through a book recently called A Complete Guide to the Hybrid 4-2-5, which is a pretty common scheme, I think, across really, really good coordinators in college football. And something that I went and researched was Kevin Steele, former Auburn defensive coordinator, did in fact run the 4-2-5, and Ron Roberts, Auburn's new DC, will also run the 4-2-5, and it allows you to fit runs really, really well. It allows you to do a lot of things on the defense, the back end, obviously, because you got five different potential pass defenders out there. So Auburn's got a lot of chemistry in this backfield, and I think you're going to see quite often Auburn have the opportunity to put a lot of them out there at once. So it's really going to be, I think, a question of, Zach, when we're talking about what this unit could be. Do you think that it's more about what it can do statistically on the back end? Because last season, Auburn really struggled with the turnovers. They struggled with occasionally big gains because of that defensive line and because of their lack of ability to get home at times despite the pressure. What do you think the expectation will be, and how does Auburn achieve that?
Yeah, I mean, I think the expectation for this defense is to be better than it was a year ago. And I think that's as far as yards per play. I think it's as far as yards per game. And I think it's as total points. I think that's really what it's going to come down to. And that's what Ron Roberts is going to try to incorporate throughout this defense. I mean, because with the exception of the linebacker spot, I think you can kind of make the argument for a lot of things. I think pass rush and pressures, overall pressures, you're losing like almost all of your pressures from a year ago. But all in all, there's a lot to like about what this defense brings to the table. And it's going to start with the back end. I do think it's going to be interesting, Lance, to see how they use them, right? I mean, we said this with Jalen Simpson early and often throughout the year last year, and same with Pritchett. And then, you know, James, I think, kind of showed that he could do whatever you ask him to do. But a lot of these guys are like athletic, physical, bump and run guys, and they weren't really asked to do that a lot when Brian Harsin was here. We'll see what Ron Roberts does with that, and watching a little bit of his stuff from Baylor, it looks like he does a mix of things, which makes sense. But they do a lot of simulated pressure, and so I think that's going to help as far as, you know, a quarterback not feeling comfortable because, you know, he doesn't know where the pressure is going to come from. And obviously, if you have to speed up your decision-making a little bit, it's going to help out your defensive back. So, I mean, as far as expectations, Lance, I think they should be pretty high. I think Auburn's going to be a really good spot when it comes down to protecting the end zone.
Quickly, before we move on to our final thing here, top five defense in the SEC, yes or no?
I'll say yes.
All right. I just wanted a little positivity as we roll on here. Hey,
and I think some of that, Lance, has to do with, like, I'm not super. I don't think Auburn's going to have to play as tough of offenses as they typically do. I think some of that has to do with Alabama taking a step back. You have to assume Georgia will take a step back with Stetson Bennett finally being gone after his 20 years in Athens. And then, like, I'm not super sold that Ole Miss is better next year than they were this past season. You got to think Mississippi State's offense will be different with their new coach for an obviously terrible reason. So they play Vandy. They play Cal instead of Penn State. So I think the competition A&M. Is A&M totally, right? Like, they may have a good defense, but, like, their offense is still probably going to be questionable. So I'm there. Yeah, so I'm going to say yes. What do you think on that?
Yeah, I definitely think so. And like you said, a lot of it has to do with the competition that Auburn's going to face next year. There's a lot of really good quarterback talent that is leaving the league this season. Right. And there are a lot of situations where even where there are quarterbacks coming back, it's just like, okay, how good can this offense be? Like you said, because of things that are transitioning. We don't know what A&M's going to do also. Maybe they get a new OC. Maybe they just say, no, we're still going to run stuff from the 1980s. But I'm not quite sure what they're going to do there. But you're right. I definitely think this unit, because of the situation that it's in, because of the experience, because of the scheme, there are a lot of different reasons to say, okay, this unit can not only be improved this next season, but it can also be pretty darn good. Hey, before we move on to the final stat of the day here, want to tell you guys about our friends over at NordVPN. Staying yes. safe online is an ever-growing difficulty, and you could be exploited by hackers. And NordVPN allows you to stay secure, change your IP address, makes you harder to track, and it secures your privacy. NordVPN is giving Auburn Daily listeners and readers a special deal. If you guys would check out the link in the episode description today, both on YouTube or on podcast, if you're listening there, and check out NordVPN. It's secure. They will keep you protected. It is definitely a great deal. I would highly encourage you guys to go check them out. And again, thank you so much to NordVPN for sponsoring today's video. All right,
Lance,
Zach.
You want to jump into our final stat of the day so far this year?
This is probably my favorite one so far, and it has to do with the wide receiver play. Andrew Stefaniak, a writer here over at auburndaily.com, wrote this one up today. Ole Miss, obviously, under Hugh Freeze, had a lot of different offenses that were, I think, I wouldn't necessarily say, I don't know if you could necessarily say all of them were in, like, the elite category of passing offenses, but they certainly had a couple. And when you look at the top end of that receiver room, we decided to go through and maybe average out, you know, what these guys were doing and break down what each and every number one receiver was doing for every single Hugh Freeze team, not just at Ole Miss, but at Liberty. And here is the number. The average season from a top wide receiver under Hugh Freeze is 891 yards receiving, 61 receptions, and 7 touchdowns. I'm just going to say right out the gate, Zach, that's pretty darn good compared to what Auburn has been putting out over the past couple of seasons.
Yeah, so I think, and you can see the full list of players if you go to auburndaily.com. Andrew did a great job kind of assembling all that. And also some fun names. I'd forgotten about a few of those names. Dante Moncrief's a big chunk of those names, but still. My two questions are, does Auburn get a guy that can somewhat resemble that stat line this year, Lance? And the follow-up question, who is it?
So that is what I wanted to talk about here. It's a question of whether or not, is he already on the roster, or does Auburn have to go out and get him? So,
you so sc- I think he has to be, right? Like, I think he has to be on the roster at this point.
Well, there are a couple different names that you could be looking at. Two that you and I are particularly high on, and two that Andrew actually noted in the article. One of them being Landon King, obviously, right, as that hybrid receiver, and the other one being Camden Brown. I don't want to put them against each other. I don't want to pit them against each other in this conversation, but Zach, could you just talk for a second about why those two guys may be explosive potential threats in a Hugh Freeze offense?
Yeah, well, I think Camden Brown's probably the more obvious one, and you're just looking at some of these guys, Dante Moncrief, Laquan Treadwell. I mean, those are bigger dudes that we saw dominate opposing defenses while Hugh Freeze was at Ole Miss. These bigger body dudes on the outside of the field. And that's exactly what Camden Brown brought to the table when he was given the opportunity last year. And I mean, he's just physically imposing and physically impressive. And it seems like he's got a natural ability to go and find the football while it's at its highest point as well. So there's a lot to like about that. The Landon King aspect of it is interesting because we've constantly tied him to like what Evan Engram brought to a Hugh Freeze offense while he was at Ole Miss. And obviously that had a lot of impact, but was never a number one wide receiver, or Andrew would have listed him in this table that's at auburndaily.com. So still a very valuable part of it, but not the guy. And that's probably what Landon King is going to be for Auburn this upcoming season. Like, he's probably going to be a valuable asset of this, but he's probably not going to be the guy. So to me, I think it's Camden Brown, or you go with the Javaris Johnson, who led Auburn in receiving a year ago, came nowhere close to that 800 plus yard mark. I think he was in the 400s, Lance, if I recall correctly.
Yep.
And so to me, that's I think it's going to be one of those two guys. And then Coy Moore, if I had to go in like likelihood, I would say Coy Moore is third likely.
I definitely think all of those are good options. And looking at Landon King, I like what you said there about him maybe being an option, but not the guy in this offense, because you have to think about that hybrid type of tight end receiver spot. Look, Rivaldo Fairweather transferred into Auburn for a reason, and he is going to be, I wouldn't necessarily say a major focal point of this offense. We don't quite know yet, but he's definitely going to be somebody out there playing a similar type of role, probably more in that tight end mold, maybe than Landon King would, but another pass catcher in this offense that I think you could be excited about. I liked everything you said there, Zach. And then the final note I'd like to make, if we're talking about the future of this receiving core, what you noted, physical, strong receivers on the outside. How about Dequavius Sorry as somebody that could be a future of this offense? That's what he was tabbed as a receiver coming out of high school, just a physical guy, 6'2", very similar mold to a lot of these different guys on this list. Could be a potential receiver in the future as well.
Yeah, possibly. Possibly so. I mean, and there's a lot of younger guys too. I mean, Amari Kelly certainly shocked me last year. Brian Harsin's staff really liked what Amari Kelly brought to the table towards the end of last season. Jay Fair has all the traits that you would want with a guy like that. So, I mean, this receiver group, it's raw and it's still kind of unproven, but you can't question that there's talent in this wide receiver room. So there's a lot of names I really could talk myself into.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Zach, those are our three stats of the day, and that's going to do it for today's episode of the Auburn Daily Show.
Should we do a little tease? Tomorrow's stat of the day, I've been told, it has to do with Rivaldo Fairweather.
Okay. All right. So, well, we just mentioned him. Could see a little bit more about him on tomorrow's stat of the day. Absolutely. Yep.
There we go. All that at auburndaily.com.
Absolutely. Go check us out at auburndaily.com. Hey, if you want to read any of the stats of the day that we talked about on this episode, make sure to go check out auburndaily.com. You can follow the show on Twitter at the Auburn Daily. You can follow us on Twitter at Z Blackerby, at Lance Daw _. And make sure, if you are not subscribed already to the YouTube channel or the podcast feed, make sure you do that as well. Harrison Tarr, Dylan Lark on with you tomorrow. Make sure you watch that show. It's gonna be a banger. We will see y'all then. Hope you guys have a great rest of your day.